Why is socialism becoming so popular in America, especially among so many young people? Hello, I'm Jerry Newcomb, and welcome to this segment of Vocal Point. Our guest right now is Dr. Richard Land, who's the president of the Southern Evangelical Seminary, and he is his website is ses.edu. Dr. Richard Land, it's so great to talk with you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, I'm delighted to be with you.
Okay, so why is socialism on the rise in America, especially among the young?
Well, I think there are several reasons. One, and I know young people don't like to hear this, but they don't know any better. You know, those of us who have seen socialism up close and personal and seen it flop in other places like in Great Britain and in East Germany and Poland and Czechoslovakia and in the Soviet Union and even in China, which has abandoned a socialist economy, even if they haven't abandoned communist communist rule. You know, they really don't understand what socialism is. They think that it's, you know, share and share alike, and we're all together and all for one, and they are ignorant of how socialism has destroyed Venezuela. For instance, Venezuela had the highest per capita income in the world, higher than ours, in the 1950s. And now it's one of the poorest countries, and children are dying for lack of medical supplies, et cetera, because socialism has wrecked the country. Socialism has wrecked the Cuban economy. Socialism wrecks any economy that it goes into because it just doesn't work. And the reason it doesn't work is because it's contrary to human nature. People are not going to work according to their ability and receive according to their need. We may wish they would, but they don't. The Bible tells us the heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17:9. As long as that's true, socialism will never work. And they tend to think about, well, what about Scandinavia? Well, socialism was tried in Scandinavia and abandoned. They do not have socialism in the Scandinavian countries now. They have a liberal welfare state, but it's not socialism. I lived in a country for 3 years that was in the last stages of its socialist experiment, Great Britain, and nothing worked. It was awful. And Mrs. Thatcher came in and took the top tax rate from 91% to 29%, sold off the state-owned industries back to private industry, sold off the public housing to the people who lived in it, and took England from being the lowest per capita income country in the Western Europe to being the highest per capita income country in Western Europe. Socialism just doesn't work. India and China have eliminated far more poverty once they abandoned socialism on the one hand and communism on the other than they ever would have with socialism and communism. You look at the countries around the world that are thriving, they're all capitalist economies. It's the socialist economies that are stagnated. But unfortunately, this is part of what they're not being taught in school and what they're not being taught in college. By faculties that increasingly skew heavily left.
So it's kind of like the point Joshua Muravchik, a former socialist himself, but now, you know, he believes in free enterprise and so forth. He wrote a great book about socialism and communism and how it always fails, called, quote unquote, Heaven on Earth. But anyway, he once said, unfortunately, even though a lot of the communists and socialism is dying out in some of these different countries, it's not dying out in the university. And I think that would be, bears out what you were saying earlier about there's just basically a lot of ignorance. But do us a favor, differentiate socialism and communism. What's the difference between the two?
Well, socialism, socialists would argue that socialism, first of all, is hypothetically done by democratic processes where you elect a socialist government. And socialism controls and owns the major industries. And you have a command and control economy with very high taxes and redistribution of income. And you have people being dependent upon the state for far more of their essential services like housing and food, et cetera. You make the state God. The state becomes the nanny. Communism is where the state owns everything, and people are at the service of the state. And that's normally done by less than democratic processes.
So would it be fair to say communism just more violent than socialism?
Well, and more extreme.
Yeah, okay.
You know, it was the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. They were striving toward communism, but they were still... But, you know, I'm not equating Soviet socialism with British socialism or Italian socialism. I would equate it with Venezuelan socialism, which and Cuban socialism, which are more communist.
Hmm. All right. Where does God fit in? And the reason I ask that is you opened my eyes of all the different people. I mean, I've had the privilege to interview you many times through the years. I used to think that Great Britain went from being a church-going nation, you know, which was sending out missionaries in the 1800s, to this godless, you know, nation that it is today, unfortunately, where just a small percentage of people go to church, and you see the church and God mocked all the time on British television, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The atheists are, you know, running rampant there, even in many of the universities that used to be very strong Christian, like Oxford and Cambridge. Okay, I used to think that all of that happened because of Darwin. And you said, no, it's because of socialism. It was like God was replaced by the state. Talk about that.
Well, you know, they first of all, you had a falling away from conservative Christianity that was Victorian Britain in the early 20th century. I had one of my church members explain this to me in a way that I think makes a lot of sense. When I was pastor of an English Baptist church when I was living in England from 72 to 75. And he said, you know, the men who went off to World War I, during that period, liberalism crossed the English Channel from France and Germany into British Christianity. And when the men came back from World War I, they found nothing in the liberal teachings of the churches that would explain to them the horror and the carnage of what happened in World War I.
Mm-hmm.
And so they quit going to church. Mm-hmm. Their wives went to church, and they took the children. When those children grew up, they didn't go to church, but they sent their children to church. Mm-hmm. That's the generation I was dealing with in the 70s. And then when those children grew up, nobody went to church. Only 1% of people in Britain go to church. And we also have to understand that in Britain, World War II was a horrible experience for them, much more than it was for us. Mm-hmm. Proportionately, they lost a lot more people. They lost almost all their wealth as a country. And so in 1945, when they had their first election, they threw out Winston Churchill, of all people, and put in Clement Attlee and the Socialists. And they wanted redistribution of income. The Socialists were promising them, you know, higher standards of living, et cetera, and free medical care, et cetera. And, of course, none of that worked out. I mean, the British had rationing up until 1952, 7 years after the war. But it was a falling away of faith first, not so much connected to Darwin as connected to just liberalism, not teaching about the true nature of man, and it fell apart, and they turned to socialism, and it was Mrs. Thatcher, God bless her, who grabbed the whole country by the scruff of the neck and gave it a good shaking, and turned it around economically and politically, but not spiritually. She tried. She was a very strong Christian herself,
mm-hmm.
But Britain is not a religious country today. More Muslims go to mosque every week in Britain than Christians go to churches.
That's so sad. What about something like Medicare for All? Is this an example of the rise of socialism?
Absolutely. You know, just give you an example. I mean, I lived under socialized medicine for 3 years. It's horrible. People were dying from diseases they would not die from in the United States. People were going blind, waiting for operations that would cure their blindness in the United States.
Mm.
The system doesn't work. It's not for free, by the way. You pay a tax for it, but it just doesn't work. Just give you one example. The American Cancer Society has just announced that cancer cure rates are at an all-time high in the U.S. And one of the reasons is the use of genetic therapies and immunotherapies. And the British system has decided not to use immunotherapy because it's too expensive. And so their death rates from cancer are significantly higher than ours. You know, where do you want to get cancer? I want to get cancer in the U.S. I don't want to get cancer in Great Britain.
Yeah.
If we had socialized medicine, Medicare for all, we would, the bottom 10% of the population would have marginally better care. And the other 90% would have catastrophically worse care.
Wow. That's incredible. And yet here you have people like Bernie Sanders. I mean, he's a credible candidate for president. He has a shot at this, which would be awful if he became president. Your comments?
Well, I think that what you're seeing in this country is a revolt by the governed against the governors. I think in Donald Trump you saw a populist revolt against the governing class, and you're seeing the same thing with Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump are both very populist figures and are railing against the establishment that the people are increasingly concerned do not care about them. You know, the establishment conspired with Hillary Clinton to deny Bernie Sanders the nomination last time. And it's amazing. This happened once before in my lifetime. There's a significant number of people for whom Donald Trump was their first choice and Bernie Sanders is their second choice, and vice versa. People for whom Bernie Sanders is their first choice and Donald Trump is their second choice. Now, that doesn't make any sense unless you understand that those supporters are saying, the people who are running the government don't care about me. I want somebody to go in there and tear it down.
Yeah.
This phenomenon happened once earlier in my lifetime, in 1968, in the middle of the riots and all the stuff that was going on. About 40% of the people who supported George Wallace, their second choice was Bobby Kennedy. And about 30% of the people who supported Bobby Kennedy, their second choice was George Wallace. Because they were populist figures leading a revolt against the status quo.
Yeah. Huh. Okay, we only have about 2 minutes left as we talk about socialism. What would a socialist America look like?
Well, it'd be a lot poorer. You'd have far less. People would have declining standards of living. The socialism doesn't grow. It doesn't bake any pies. They just try to ever more equitably distribute a never-growing pie. Capitalism grows pies. And then you have to decide how to divide them up. But no socialist economy has ever grown significantly. Period. It doesn't work.
All right.
Winston Churchill said it about as well as it can be said. The weakness of the capitalist system is that it does not equitably share the spoils of its success. The weakness of the socialist system is that it equally shares the misery of its system.
That is so good. What is left to be said about socialism that hasn't been said? And maybe you could address the point that Hitler is in the socialist category, not the capitalist category.
Well, yeah, it was the Nazi Party was the National Socialist Party. With state-run industries and the government and the state determining many, many things about the economy and about how people lived.
Yeah, and so therefore, you know, for people to say, well, we're against the fascists, therefore, you know, we want Bernie Sanders and socialism. Wait a minute, you know, the fascism of the past, I mean, it was basically socialism. Hello? So.
Well, economically, it certainly was, yes.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you so much for being with us, Dr. Richard Land. SES.edu is his website. He is the president of the Southern Evangelical Seminary. Thank you for your time, sir. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless.
All right. Bye-bye.